Stupid thing.
I'm just having fun.
Seeing ghosts.
The Forgotten Camp.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I'm joined today by good friend, back for the first time in the regular season, Stan Talese. Stan, how are you, my man?
What's up, man? The breast 0-4 in Giants, so I'm not sure how to feel.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm sorry that you root for a bad team. I too root for a bad team. It is not a fun time, obviously, but hopefully we can have some fun today talking about teams that matter more. So today, usually we do Wednesday shows. I had some stuff come up this week. I live in Salt Lake City. I work for my college newspaper, and I had to do some coverage for the vice presidential debate. So sorry, but this show wasn't on Wednesday. We also had some guests switching up as well. We've had some things happen there. But yeah, it's good to talk to you, Stan. Lots has happened in the NFL since we last podcasted on Friday. Cam Newton has coronavirus. The Patriots game was moved to Monday night. We had a Monday night doubleheader. Then also Monday, Bill O'Brien was fired from the Texans in a move that is pretty wild. They're interim leader right now is this guy Nick Easterby, who is trying to stage a Bill O'Brien like power grab, the likes of which the NFL has never really seen. So that's really interesting drama playing out in Houston right now, which I'm sure we might get to a little bit later in when we get to the power rankings. But what I want to talk about the most is Tuesday morning, we had a lot more coronavirus news, and in a bad way. One player on the Raiders tested positive. Two more players on the Titans have tested positive. Three, actually, have tested positive. And Stephon Gilmore of the Patriots also tested positive. So, Stan, with all this happening, like, what do you think's gonna happen here? Like, do you think the league needs to, by my estimation, a third of the league at this point has played someone or played with someone that has coronavirus? So about 10 teams have come into contact with the virus. So that's a third of the league. Do you think that the NFL needs to pause? What do you think about what's going on right now?
I don't think they need to pause necessarily. I think I saw an interesting tweet from, I'm going to pull it up, from, I lost it, but someone suggested that the Titans should kind of face the brunt of what's been going on here, because they've had to postpone, you know, the Steelers game. Now the Bills game is getting pushed. I think, you know, I agree with what they said. You know, I think we should forfeit those games, give the Steelers a win, give the Bills a win. And until the Titans can get their act together and prove that they can practice and play safely, they got to forfeit. They're the only team that has a widespread issue. You know, yeah, the Patriots have a couple of guys with it, with Gilmore and Cam coming down with it. But a majority of the cases in the league have come from Tennessee, and whatever's happening down there in Tennessee needs to be rectified. And until they do, I mean, you might have to just forfeit games until they can prove that they can go a few days. I wouldn't even say a week, a few days without a positive test.
Yeah, I believe they have more today. So that 3 number, I think, might be wrong. I just haven't seen the new reports today, but I believe 1 or 2 more got tested today. It's about 23 players and personnel in total that have it on the team now. That's an interesting kind of thought. And there has been some talk at the league offices, from what I've seen, about that perhaps potentially being the case. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. There's just so much going on right now with COVID and the NFL. I do think it would be beneficial if a league took a step back and said, hey, maybe we need a circuit breaker. Like, I'm at a college in the United States, and we did a circuit breaker. So we had in-person classes for the first few months, and then we did 2 weeks. We're in this 2-week stretch right now where we're all online, to kind of just put everything on hold, you know, this, that, the other thing, try to keep cases down and whatnot. And I think the NFL could use that. I think that they are just wildly, all these games that are being rescheduled now for the Patriots game has been rescheduled for Monday. The Titans game has been rescheduled for Tuesday. It is pretty wild that this is all happening, that the NFL seems to think they're going to be able to play the Super Bowl on time. I think they need to accept that that's just not going to happen with the way this season works. And you will never have a problem with people not watching the Super Bowl. People will always choose to watch the Super Bowl above all else. So I don't see the issue with pushing the Super Bowl back 2 weeks to mid-February instead of, you know, pushing things back and putting teams like the Bills in a super tough situation where they have to play the Titans this Tuesday, and then they have a 2-day turnaround, like not a 2-day turnaround because they move Thursday Night Football, but a 4-day turnaround to go play the Chiefs on Sunday. It's just not fair to the Bills, but when the Titans can't handle things. So I think that your points are really well made on that as well. So that's kind of what's going on with COVID in the NFL. Obviously it's a big part of our lives now and the league. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it's definitely worth mentioning here. I do want to talk about the Bill O'Brien stuff. What'd you think about that? Do you think they fired him too early? Do you think that do you think they fired him too early, basically?
Well, I think yes and no. I think they should have fired him. I mean, he should have been fired a long time ago, but if you're gonna fire, like, it just, I don't see how it makes any sense to fire him now. I mean, I don't really see how they're gonna get any better. I think I mean, you get rid of them as soon as you can, sure, but they have no real weapons. They have no offensive line. They have no offensive identity outside of Deshaun Watson. The defense is mediocre. I have it on very good authority that Easterby is going to make a hard push for Dabo Swinney in the offseason and bring him over. I think he's got ties to the state of South Carolina. Mm, he's got Clemson ties. He goes back to Dabo Swinney. I don't think that the Texans are in a position to tank for Trevor Lawrence, because they just, you know, gave Deshaun Watson a lot of money. But you know, if you're Dabo Swinney, you look at the way Clemson has been playing. you know, they're kind of on cruise control right now. You know, they've got a big game against my Miami Hurricanes this weekend. You know, if Clemson beats Miami this week by, I think Miami's a two touchdown underdog. If they cover the spread, Clemson, I think you can really talk about Clemson being the front runner for the national championship. And if they do win the national championship this year, I don't see why we can't be talking about Dabo Swinney taking a crack at the NFL with the Houston Texans and with his relationship to Easterby. So I think that's something to look out for. As far as Bill O'Brien goes, he's really set this franchise back a long time. They have no first-round pick or second-round pick. And they really didn't get much back in that deal. I mean, Laramie Tunsil's a good player, but their issues are go a lot farther than that. And, I don't understand what the Texans were thinking, giving Bill O'Brien the keys to the franchise as a GM and a coach. So very rarely has that worked out in the NFL. And I think, whoever they do choose to be the head coach moving forward has a lot of work to do.
Yeah. I that's interesting that you've heard about Dabo Swinney. I disagree with that. I just don't understand why any of those big pillar college coaches would ever leave the current jobs that they're in, just because Clemson is such a, like, it's his job. It's such an easy job for him at this point. Like, he sure has job security for life. He can consistently make himself a top four franchise in the nation. But still, thank you for pointing that out. It's an interesting possibility. I couldn't see it happening. Let's get to power rankings here, though. And honestly, if you don't mind, I think let's kind of keep the show a little bit shorter. I think we've been doing some long shows lately. We're about 10 minutes in here, so let's spend about just 20 minutes on this, and then let's get out of here. But we're 4 weeks through the season, and I just think it's always a good, every 4 weeks to go through and talk about kind of power rankings and where we see teams throughout the league. So here's how we're going to kind of attack this. Each of us is going to choose two top 10 teams we want to talk about. We'll go kind of back and forth doing that. One bottom five team we both want to talk about. And then one team that's in kind of in the middle for each of us that we want to discuss for a few seconds. So I'll start with you in your top 10. Who do you want to talk about here?
I want to start with the Packers, man. I'll be honest with you. After the offseason they had, the draft was, I thought, abysmal. Not getting Aaron Rodgers any weapons in the draft, or not really addressing anything in free agency outside of, like, maybe Jimmy Graham. But I can't remember if he was this season or last. But I'm pleasantly surprised by what I've seen from the Packers, especially Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this guy continues to make no-name guys look amazing. Who was Robert Tonyan, a month ago? You know, this is a guy who's probably bagging groceries, but here we go. He's on a team with Aaron Rodgers, and I'll be honest with you. Like, I think going into the season, if you asked me who was going to win the NFC North, it wasn't going to be the Packers. I really thought that the Vikings had a real opportunity to step up, and with the running game, Dalvin Cook and everything like that. I thought the Lions, they had potential if Matt Patricia could get out of the way. Even the Bears, I thought, the Bears, another year from Mitchell Trubisky, Matt Nagy being the genius that he is. I thought every team outside of the Packers had a real shot, but here I am, and I would say the Packers are a top three team even in the NFL. So I'm really impressed by what I've seen from them.
Yeah. Where do you have them ranked?
I've got them too. I've got them number two.
Yeah, that's the same as me, honestly. I mean, I just echo everything you say. I mean, it's sort of unbelievable that they are so much better this year with basically the same exact team they had last year.
Maybe less because they've got no Davante Adams. Adam Lazard's hurt. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really interesting what's happening there right now. Now, granted, they played against the Falcons Monday night, right, and they have a terrible defense, so I'll be interested to see how the Packers do after. But they have this early week four bye week this week. Gives a shot for Davante Adams to get healthy. You maybe come back. Alan Lazard, that seemed weird. I thought he was kind of out maybe for the season almost. But we'll see if he comes back or not. And the Packers are an interesting team to watch as well. The defense kind of worries me. It's sort of just a blah Mike Pettine defense, but you know, doesn't generate a ton of pressure or a lot of turnovers or anything like that. But we will see what happens there as well. I want to talk about the Tennessee Titans, who, yes, they are dealing with COVID stuff right now, and they haven't really played anyone yet, but I just believe that there is an outside chance that they are probably the second best team in the AFC. They have played extremely well through the first, 3 weeks for them. Ryan Tannehill is no fluke. They are moving the ball without AJ Brown being a huge part of their team. They have had some health issues on the defense. Those are starting to get a little bit better, though, as they have more and more time off here. And really, outside of it, it's hard to judge them because of the things that are going on right now with COVID. But I do think the Titans are just a really great team right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think right now, with everything getting pushed back, is more of an I don't think in practice, but I think it's more of an opportunity for a guy like Jadeveon Clowney to get more acclimated to the defense and figure out what his role is going to be. And I think a lot of people saw them last year and really thought it was going to be a run heavy offense, and you know, don't let Ryan Tannehill ruin anything. But I mean, like you said, I think Ryan Tannehill has been playing very well, especially without his, I mean, if you want to call him, AJ Brown is as good of a number one receiver as they've got. But, you know, Jonnu Smith has stepped up and Corey Davis has stepped up. And I think this is a very balanced team. I like what I've seen from them.
Who's your second team that you want to talk about that's kind of towards the top of the list?
Towards the top? I guess the Buffalo Bills. It's kind of hard not to talk about the Buffalo Bills. We're talking about Josh Allen as a potential MVP. The running game has been, you know, nice, but really it's been the passing game. Stephon Diggs has been probably the best acquisition of any team this season. And I would say I think the Bills defense has potential to get better. I know they didn't play very well against the Raiders. Look, they're undefeated. They were going into a game, though they eventually will be going into a game against the Tennessee Titans, so that'll be a great matchup to see how they do. But I think, you know, we're talking about a Bills team here that should win the AFC East. I don't think it's too early to start talking about them as an AFC champion, potential AFC championship team.
That's Yeah, it's high praise, but they've played so well early on. Josh Allen has completely transformed his game. I mean, I can't sing enough Josh Allen praises at this point. The defense is not as good as they usually are. It's a little bit porous, but you imagine that they get better and Sean McDermott coaches them up throughout the year. But yes, the Bills are a super interesting team to look at. I just want to briefly touch on the Rams. They run the ball now at one of the highest paces in the entire league. That said, the passing game built off that is working really, really well. Jared Goff is playing great Jared Goff football. He's the ultimate point guard right now. And the Rams are just fun to watch every week. Aaron Donald is playing out of his mind. He's, to me, well, it's TJ Watt who's the defensive player of the year right now, but Aaron Donald would be a close second. And the secondary hasn't looked bad. Jalen Ramsey's played okay. They look like a team that can push for the NFC West. Seattle is so good, and I've sung Seattle's praises so many times, but the Rams do have a chance, I believe. I want to talk now about well, actually, I don't want to talk about a bottom five team unless you really want. I want to hear what you have to say about the Giants, and then I'll talk about my middle team, and then you could talk about your middle team, and we can get out of here. But I don't really have a bottom five team I feel super strongly about. For me, it's Atlanta, Washington, Denver, the Giants, and the Jets. But I want to hear what you think about the Giants.
I mean, at this point, I don't know what to say. Who do you blame? You know, who do you blame? The coaching staff? Do you blame Daniel Jones? Do you blame the running game, the offensive line? I mean, it's bad all across the board. The only bright side is that we're not as bad as the Jets. I mean, Adam Gase is awful, but I mean, what I'm saying from the Giants, I don't know who to blame. Like, I'm in a Giants group chat, and it's a lot of anger, a lot of high expectations for no reason. I told everybody in the group chat, listen, this is a 6-win team at best. I mean, let's be completely honest with who we are. And this was before the Saquon injury. So now, without Saquon, you know, what is this team? What's this team's identity? Do they run the ball? Are they a passing team? Is Daniel Jones going to be the one to lead the team? And I honestly don't know. What I will say is that the defense has played way better than I expected it to. Dalvin Tomlinson, Leonard Williams, and Dexter Lawrence have played above and beyond what I expected them to. Blake Martinez has been one of the great bright spots on this team. James Bradbury has been a very big bright spot. I almost wonder what this team would look like with a healthy Xavier McKinney, with a real pass rusher. If you know, if DeAndre Baker wasn't an idiot and was still on the team, I am curious to see what that team would have looked like. But the defense is playing inspired, so I give all credit to Patrick Graham on that. Offensively, I really don't know what to say. This is a team that hasn't scored a touchdown in two games, and I don't know if they're gonna score one this week. I doubt it, but. You know, hey, look, maybe they turn it around. But at the end of the day, I know a lot of people are talking about, you know, what this team's going to do in the offseason. I think that, you know, if this team is in a position to take a Trevor Lawrence, I think you have to really consider it. Or you know, if some other team is going to come up and trade you a king's ransom for the rights to Trevor Lawrence, I think you do that as well. One of the things I've been looking at, I was looking at is Micah Parsons out of Penn State, who is opting out this season. He's a very good middle linebacker. He can actually play outside as well. And, you know, with the emergence of not, I won't even call it emergence because Blake Martinez is a very good player, but, you know, having the two of them in the middle of the defense would be great. But I think you know, the Giants should start looking at the draft as far as, you know, getting a pass rusher, you know, bolstering up the secondary. If you can't do that, I think offensive line is another area that needs to be looked at as well. Andrew Thomas has been dreadful, and I was beating the drum for Andrew Thomas, and I feel like an idiot. Looking at how Tristan Wirfs is playing, and he's playing out of his mind. There was a quote, I think it was Joey Bosa had played against him, and Joey Bosa sang his praises and said, "This guy is a Pro Bowler waiting to happen." And the Giants could have taken him. The Giants could have taken him, and they didn't. But we'll see. It's only 4 games into the season. I hope we win a game at some point, maybe 2. And I'm not on the fire everybody train other than Dave Gettleman. But I will say this. If we're going to blame Gettleman, I think we should also blame the Mara family. I think the ownership is a big part of this, because they stick with what they know. They don't adapt. They don't change. If they had brought in another GM like Louis Riddick, he's been adamant about saying that he would have kept Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, maybe this team looks different with a healthy Odell. And I don't know. I don't know. I have a lot of things on my mind about the Giants, and they're not all good.
All right. Well, thank you for getting that off your chest. I know that can't be easy for you about. Briefly here, because I do like, I hope you don't feel gypped, Stan. I do like having a shorter show every now and then.
No, absolutely.
Arizona, just briefly, Cliff Kingsbury is in his calling tunnel screens to nowhere phase right now. The offense is completely kind of, I guess it would be north-south. Right now, instead of east-west, up and down, it is it's horizontal right now. It is certainly not a vertical passing game. And the defense isn't much better. I mean, who could have seen that Vance Joseph is a terrible defensive coordinator? I mean, most of the NFL. But Patrick Peterson has been better. That's been a plus. But the Cardinals got really hyped up the first 2 weeks, but they just aren't. They aren't that good. They're kind of what I thought they'd be this year. I don't think they're bad as everyone makes them out to be right now. I have them ranked 20th. I think they finished with about 8 wins, probably maybe 7. But yeah, it's just something to keep an eye on. Cliff Kingsbury is not doing a very good job calling plays right now.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, what do you think? What's kind of your middle team?
I think the Carolina Panthers, man. I mean, I really like what I'm seeing out of Teddy Bridgewater. I think Joe Brady is showing why they brought him over from LSU. Teddy Bridgewater looks really good, and they've been playing better as of yet without Christian McCaffrey. So you can only imagine how much better they'll be in 3-4 more weeks when McCaffrey comes back. What really impresses me is the defense. The defense has really come on. You know, this is a defense that really in the last 2 seasons have lost their franchise altering linebacker. And as of this past offseason, their best cornerback, James Bradbury, to the Giants. But look at this pass rush. Brian Burns and Yetur Gross-Matos have really come on. And I really like what I'm seeing from the Panthers. And I think the NFC South is I won't say it's up for grabs, but the Buccaneers are probably the team that's gonna win that division. The Falcons are awful. You know, I think this is a good opportunity for the Panthers to kind of stay the course. And when the time comes, when Christian McCaffrey comes back healthy, take a wild card spot.
Absolutely. It's interesting to watch. You were on the Panthers way before the season started. I like the Panthers as well. You're right. Teddy's playing really good right now. Obviously, he's not a world beater, but that has never really been what Teddy Bridgewater is. He's a great game manager with some nice upside. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's kind of how the NFL looks through 4 weeks right now. Well, let's get out of here. Let's go have a good night. I stayed up way too late last night.
Yeah, I can imagine watching the debate. I am.
I was up till about 2 a.m. doing some coverage stuff. So I am going to bed. This will be up shortly. I will tweet out the link tomorrow, Stan, so you can retweet it. We'll be back tomorrow with Trey. Absolutely. for a recap. Stan, where can people find your stuff? And then let's get out of here.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram.
I think you're on lag a little bit. Sorry. Go.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at FunnyManStan.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Stan. We will see you guys tomorrow. Peace out.
Take it easy.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.